Welcome to Politically Emotional, talk to transform our collective emotional pain. Here's your host, Diane Altomare.
Welcome to the show. This week, as I was preparing for this show, I was so overwhelmed with all that's going on. There's so many different issues, many different viewpoints. There's just so much. And we've all got to remember to take time out to tend to our well-being in this time of intense emotional political conflict. So this week, there is just so much to talk about. I welcome your calls right now at 425-373-5527. If you are watching this broadcast on Facebook Live, make sure to read my comments and go to 1150kknw.com in another browser and click listen now. You are not going to want to miss the amazing guests and callers that we have today. So this week alone, House Intelligence Committee ends the Russian probe. Trump fires Secretary of State Rex Tillerson over a tweet and also fires White House personal assistant John McEntee. Talk of chaos in the White House is present again. And of course, the Wednesday walkout of high schools was yesterday from students demanding gun legislation laws change. Also, Trump insults were many at a Pennsylvania rally on Saturday, and the media was at the top of Trump's enemy list. And this week, another headline in the news that is getting a lot of attention and many women are very triggered by is Hillary Clinton blaming her loss on white women listening to their husbands, sons, or bosses and being influenced by their views. Clinton was asked this at the India Today conclave. Take a listen.
Looking at the details of the American election is how almost 52% of white women voted for him in spite of the Billy Bush tape and so forth. How do you explain that?
Part of that is an identification with the Republican Party and a sort of ongoing pressure to vote the way that your husband, your boss, your son, whoever, believes you should.
So how do you feel about what Hillary said? If you're on Facebook Live, I would love to see your comments. And again, I welcome your calls at 425-373-5527. Our first caller, Anna Rohrbaugh, is a city council member from Mukilteo, Washington. And yesterday, when I called her about this, she was actually in Washington, D.C., talking to senators, both Republicans and Democrats. And she was totally inspired by the collaboration and the empowerment she felt as they were coming to solutions and ways to come together. And she was so triggered by Hillary's comments. Take a listen.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for having me. And I'm just really excited to be able to share. I wish I didn't have to share this, actually. I wish I wasn't triggered by this. But, you know, I just spent a day on Tuesday listening to women and men and senators and CEOs and Democrats and Republicans all ready to empower us as one at the National League of Cities Conference in Washington, D.C. I'm a Mukilteo City Council member, and you know, it was such a great, empowering, hope-filled day with real solutions and ideas coming forth. And it wasn't about blame, and it was about collaboration and not being divisive. And one of the things I pulled out of it is if you believe in people, they will show you the way. And when I got back to the hotel that night, I heard the clip of what Hillary Clinton had said when she was speaking in India. And it was such the opposite, and it completely triggered me. Here's the quote she said in speaking about the election a year and a half ago and why she didn't win. She said, "We, speaking of the Democrats, don't do well with married white women. And part of that is an identification with the Republican Party and an ongoing pressure to vote the way your husband, your boss, your son, whoever believes you should." I pulled that from the National Review because I wanted to get it right. And I was triggered. I was so mad. And I was just begging, like, I was asking the question, why doesn't she show by example? Why doesn't she show responsibility and do what she says she stands for? Empowering other people, equality, standing up for equality and standing up for our rights. And I felt like she did the opposite. I am a white woman. I am married. I have a son. And I felt like she was taking my power away, that she didn't listen to my voice, because I have and I own my own voice. I strongly believe women voted their beliefs, whether they voted for her or against her, they voted their beliefs. Whether it was for her or against her, I was offended that she was trying to make it something it was not. How are women not offended? If I was single, if I didn't have a son, I would be offended that I was being displayed as weak, as if I didn't have my own beliefs or voice in this. Now, imagine if everything, I have a daughter too, my daughter said or did, we then said, you did that because your dad or your brother believe in this. Over time, imagine what that would do with her voice, her beliefs. Over time, that would make her weaker, not stronger. She would lose her power in owning her own thinking in this. I believe in the power of women and the strength of their voice. And I believe they are strong enough to vote their truth and empower their own unique voice. Whether I agree with the outcome or not, I would never disempower another woman so I could rationalize my loss. And I think that's why I was so triggered in this.
So let's talk about this. First of all, Anna, thank you for your powerful leadership, for being an example of an empowered woman, and really for sharing your heart. You inspired me to talk about this today when I saw your post yesterday and how you were so vulnerable and just sharing how this deeply affected you. And we're all going to hear more from Anna in a moment. But I want to ask you, as the listeners, as women, as men, how are you feeling about what Hillary said? Did it trigger you? I personally am so with Anna in wanting to talk about this, to identify where and if we are allowing ourselves as women to be influenced or affected in a way that is not aligned with who we are and what we need. And I can say that after coaching people for 16 years, individual sessions, day after day and week after week, I have had an intimate inside view of what happens in people's lives, in their relationships, in their marriages, and how we are sometimes impacted and influenced by others. And sometimes that's just even unconsciously. And I have seen women who are strong, who are empowered, be unduly influenced by their husbands or a male in their life. That view that is not aligned with who they are or what they need, whether that's politically or in some way. I have seen very empowered women diminish their needs and their truth. And I think this is a very important conversation for us to have. The only way to transform the fear, the suppression, and maybe this persuasion that we're talking about that some men have on women is to bring light to this darkness. I can share that in my own life, there are many times when I have been silenced, when I have not expressed what I knew to be my truth because of fear, because it went against something that somebody that I loved believed in. And I would love to hear from you, from those of you that totally disagree with me or that have had that experience where you have been silenced or haven't expressed your voice or didn't give yourself that freedom to really speak your truth. And I want to share Anna's urging for all of us as women. She had an amazing role model, her father, and I personally did as well. My dad always told me that I could be or do whatever I wanted. But I know that not every one of us has had that supportive male figure in our lives. And even if we had, like I shared earlier, there are many times where I have silenced my own voice and not allowed myself to express my truth. Here's Anna on urging us as women.
Diane, I'm going to finish with this. My dad, and I really want to focus on this, my dad, a man, taught me to empower my own voice, to believe in my own unique gifts. No matter if he disagreed, and trust me, he disagreed with a lot or not, he continued to show me how to empower myself and others to believe in their own truth and voice. A man did this. I know my son and husband don't have the power to dismiss my own voice. It's private, by the way, the voting booth. And a lot of places in the Midwest and all over still go to the voting booth. You pull that curtain and no one has a power over you. It's sacred. It's not the truth to say that someone else has that power and can take the power in that. As a woman, I'm unique, resilient, and capable of listening to my own mind, and I know liberals and conservative women own their power in this. Many of them are married with sons of their own, and they voted their truth. I guess I'm going to end with this. I think her words say mountains about her character and beliefs. Mountains more than they will ever say about mine. I beg you, Hillary, to empower women, all women, whether they are married or not, with or without sons, voted for you or not. Focus on empowering them, not trying to take their power away. It's only true empowerment when you believe in them, whether they agree with you or not. It's not empowerment to disempower people. Thank you, Diane, for the time. I wish you well, and I'd love to hear all the dissent and the comments that play into this as well. It's such a great, beautiful way to talk about this. So have a great show.
Thank you so much, Anna. We are going to continue this conversation about empowering women to speak their truth as this show continues to bring light to the places where we as women are diminishing our greatness and our power. So if you would like to join in this conversation, please either comment on Facebook Live or go to DianeAltimar.com/call. That's DianeAltimar.com/call. And you can leave a recorded question or comment that will air on a future show. We need to continue to talk about this. This is one of the things that I share often when I speak to groups of people, women's groups, and empowering people and women is, where are you diminishing your light and your greatness? The world needs each one of our contributions and all of our light. After our short commercial break, we will be back with our next caller who is appalled and feels that more should be done with gun legislation laws. Stay with us. One of my least favorite things to do is shop for groceries, prepare everything, cut it all up, and cook. What's for dinner was an exhausting question in our house until Gobble. Gobble is fresh food that arrives at your door every week, fully prepared and ready to cook. The Thai coconut curry soup is one of my faves, and my husband loves the blackened chicken with marbled potatoes and broccolini. Everything comes fresh, chopped, and ready to eat in 10 minutes. And because Gobble is a sponsor of Politically Emotional, you get $50 off this week. Go to DianeAltimar.com/gobble. That's DianeAltimar.com/gobble. Save time, save money, and love what you're eating.
There's a reason they invented the internet. It's called 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back. If you are just joining us and watching this broadcast on Facebook Live, make sure to go to 1150kknw.com in another browser window and click Listen Now so that you can hear our next guest. Our next guest, Kathy Toremoto, is with us to talk about how she feels about what's happening with hashtag Never Again, gun legislation laws, and the school walkout yesterday. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Diane.
It's so great to have you yesterday. And this is really very timely that we connected about this because you had a scare with your daughter yesterday when
yes,
you heard that her college campus was on lockdown because of a possible shooter. Can you share with us what happened and just what that was like for you as a mom?
Oh, gosh, it was awful. She, you know, we have a family text and, you know, it's how we all, she lives in Illinois. We're in, you know, outside Seattle. And she had sent this text to that group and it said, I'm okay in case you've heard we're on lockdown because of a shooter. And I'm like, what? And so we were texting back and forth and apparently it all turned out to be a hoax. But for about an hour, we didn't know what was going on. She kept, you know, reassuring us that they were okay. They happened to be in the same building as the police, so she felt safe.
Mm-hmm.
This was at Northwestern University in Evanston,
mm-hmm.
and one of the grad dorms. And I knew a friend of mine, his son also goes there, so I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, but I sent him a text to let him know, in case he hadn't heard, that, you know, what was going on, and he had also heard from his son. But, you know, just in that, and, you know, unimaginable. So nothing in this case happened, but I can't even begin to imagine for all these families of all of these people. You know, when I, the other night I saw the 14,000 pairs of shoes from all the children that have died from gun violence between Sandy Hook and now, and that's just inexcusable.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace.
Yeah, it's just, it's so heart-wrenching. We did a show on the Parkland, Florida shooting a couple weeks ago, and mm-hmm. I really had to do everything to just breathe through it, to keep it together, mm-hmm. because I am a mother and I cannot imagine what that would be like. And you just experienced that yesterday. And, you know, just seeing those 14,000 shoes Capitol lawn.
You know, and I know that that tactic has been used before. I've seen that with Shirts for Women in Domestic Violence. I've seen it with Boots for Troops Lost,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it is because it's it is personal and it represents the lives. And how do you not be touched by that?
Yeah.
You know.
And yet, Kathy, this is an issue that divides us so intensely. I mean, it is honestly something that so many people can't even have a conversation about without getting irate or being disgusted with the other person. You're going to take my guns away, or the other person, you know, feeling like, how could you say that? You know, it's just an issue that really cuts people's connection in half immediately. And one of the things that I love about what Anna Rohrbaugh shared at the beginning of the show was that she was in Washington, D.C., and she was in a room with the senators, with Republicans, with Democrats, and she felt mm-hmm. empowered. And they were talking about how to come to solutions on things. And I don't know specifically if they were talking about gun legislation laws or if they were talking about other things. But, you know, there's got to be a way that we can start to hear each other without going to the extremes of either they're coming to take all of our guns or, mm-hmm. you know, the other side really feeling like, you know, people shouldn't have military style weapons available to them.
Right. You know, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things, and I know you talked about this the other day with Rob Dubois, I believe it was.
Yes.
And talking about the, you know, the same concept that it's polarizing and that it's basically a lack of respect. Everybody should be heard. And
yes.
Everybody has their right to their own beliefs and to feel safe in their own home. But, you know, when you're talking about assault rifles, when you're talking about 14,000 children that did not get to live their lives, and those are just the children, that's not their families, their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their everybody, what would they have been? You know, but it has to come down to a fundamental level, you know, and not, you know, all the egos fighting on the surface, right?
Yeah.
It's more about the humanity that's being lost. And people, you know, human rights, civil rights, all of the rights that are being violated based on lack of respect for people of differences, of any difference, man, woman, white, yellow, red, Chinese, gay, straight, it doesn't matter, right? Fundamentally, we are all the same.
Yeah.
There is no difference. And every single life has value. And, you know, to put anything above that is what's, you know, what we're seeing, right? And it's also fear-based. There's a big engine that's being promoted to make people afraid, to make people feel that they have to have guns. They're not going to be safe with the guns. It's not, you know, other countries, all of the other developed countries, don't have the problems we have because they don't have the amount of guns we do. You know, I'm seriously doubt that the founding fathers intended for this to be, you know, but I think it has to come down to stop being about this or that, right or wrong, Democrat, yes, Republican. What about a basic societal level, common decency, common courtesy?
And the other thing is that we really have to look at the fact that it's just not working.
Exactly.
It's just not working, right? And so if we can't be a society that is able to have these types of weapons available to anybody, where people are respectful that that weapon can harm somebody, if we can't be responsible, then we've got to put some kind of legislation into effect that is going to keep people that don't have the ability to make the right decision, or that are mentally ill, or whatever it is, whatever the case is, right? We've got to make some changes. We can't just say, well, we can't change the gun legislation laws because of the Second Amendment and because I'm afraid that you're going to come take all my guns. Like, that cannot be our conversation. We've got to open up this dialogue. And I love what you just shared, that so much of it is fear-based. That,
yeah, I mean, absolutely, it has to come down. There has to be dialogue, and it has to be on a basic fundamental level. And, you know, I was really encouraged to see the youth and the students standing up. They're the ones that have the most to lose. And one of them, made a comment, you know, they're not worried about their politics and their campaigns and all of that. They have nothing to lose. They have everything to lose. Yeah. This is their future.
Yeah.
Right? But I also believe that as much as there's a couple of things going on in society right now, a lot of things appear to be breaking down. A lot of those are old structures, old paradigms, old things that are not serving the greater amount of humanity.
Yeah.
And that there's a whole new way of things coming that is evolving and coming out. I do a lot of spiritual work. I've been a Buddhist for over 30 years. I do a lot of spiritual work in my coaching practice. Alan Seale, who does a lot of work around this area specifically, really talks about the great, you know, this is a time of great breaking open, meaning the old ways are breaking down, but a lot of positive is coming out of it.
Yes.
Because of everything, people are talking more than they have before. You know, we're having this conversation.
Yes.
Right?
More absolutely.
And more people are coming out. More and more people are stepping up.
Thank you,
you
so much.
There's so much at stake.
Yeah, there is so much at stake. And thank you so much for being here. And I hope you will come back to continue this conversation, because as I talked about earlier in the show, we need to keep talking about the things that matter and the things, like you shared, that are breaking open and giving us all the opportunity to decide who we are and what's important to us and where we stand and what we really need to do to come together and create solutions. Thank you so much, Kathy, for being
here. Thank you so much for having me, Diane, and I would love to come on again.
I'd love to have you. I so appreciate it. Today's final thought is about empowering yourself. It is 2018, and we, both women and men, have evolved so much, but there are places where we are still operating from a very old archetype, a very old way of being, where we are diminishing our light, our greatness, and not speaking our truth, where we are not allowing ourselves to speak from the depth of who we are, connected to everybody else. And we are looking at our own needs instead of the collective good. So this week, notice the places where you are being affected, where you're being triggered by what's happening in your life. Maybe that is politically in the news. Maybe it's just in your individual relationship or your job. And then do the inner work that is necessary to move beyond that limiting way of being, that fear, or that way of diminishing your greatness and your light. I invite you to join me in my community where I show you exactly how to reclaim your light, your greatness, and bring your greatest contribution to the world. We are each so needed right now. You can go to dianealtamar.com/coaching for more. Thank you so much, Anna and Kathy, for sharing your brilliance, for your views and your wisdom, and for everybody listening to this broadcast, for all of you that are watching this on Facebook Live. I so appreciate you being here. You can find me on Twitter at Diane Altamar, and I look forward to being back with all of you next Thursday at 4:30. Like I shared at the beginning of the show, if you want to be a part of this continuing conversation, we're going to keep talking about all these issues, the ones we've been talking about, and whatever new may arise each week. We're going to do this together as a community, and I want to hear from you. Please leave your recorded question or comment at 626-817-6671, or you can go to dianealtamar.com/call. That's C-A-L-L, and it may air on a future show. Thank you so much for joining me on Politically Emotional, where we talk to transform our collective emotional pain into peace, love, and hope. See you guys next time.
There's no countries. It isn't hard to do.